Turn with me this morning to the book of John. John chapter 21 this morning. Last week we asked a question. I believe that's a good way to learn. Asking a question forces an answer, especially questions like this, eternal questions. The Lord Jesus Christ often asked questions to provoke thought regarding spiritual matters. We asked this one last week from the Word of God and tried to answer it by His grace. Does God love you? We talked about the love of God, but not just in general. Not just does God love everybody. That's, the Scripture is clear on that. But does He love you? Does God love you? And we tried to answer that question. If He does, you must be perfect. You must be holy. You must be righteous. He can't look at sin. He can't have anything to do with the sinner apart from Christ. If God loves you, you must be in Christ. And we talked about what that is, what it means to be in Christ, to be in Him as our representative. As we were in Adam when he sinned, we are in Christ when he did not sin. When he lived a righteous, perfect, holy life, we were in him because he represented us. When he died on that cross, he paid for sin before a holy God. And in him, I paid for my sin. He is my payment for my sin. I must have a lamb. And my lamb must be without blemish or without spot. And truly he was so and is so. And he is my offering before a holy God. Does God love you? If we're in Christ, he does. We have another question this morning. And really this is just a continuation of the study from last week. This is a question I ask each of us to take to heart, and all of us by God's grace to answer. I'm asking you to do some business with yourself this morning regarding this question. In doing business with the Son of God. From John chapter 21, verse 15, we have a familiar passage of Scripture in which this very question was asked of one of God's sheep. Verse 15, so when they had dined, you know the context here. The Lord Jesus Christ met with his disciples on the beach there near the sea, and they had just drawn in their net full of fishes as the Lord had instructed them to cast their net on the right side of the ship, and they did so and were not able to draw it for the multitude, and they came ashore, and the Lord Jesus was there. There was a fire and coals there, verse 9, and fish laid thereon and bread. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, bring the fish that you caught by my instruction and my grace and my power. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all, there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. That's what he says to us this morning as we come to his table, to his sheep. Come and dine. We dine with the Master this morning. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And then verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. Notice the personal direction of the question. He doesn't ask the world in general this morning. I'm not saying who loves Jesus this morning. I'm saying, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what the Lord asked. Not in general, but you, Simon, the son of Jonas. In case there's any other Simons around here, I'm asking you. Lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Do you love me? No doubt Peter was grieved at this because it reminded him of something else that had happened three times. He had denied his Lord and shown the pitiful, feeble, and fickle nature of our love. And yet the Lord is encouraging him here. He's lifting him up and giving him a solemn charge. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. How could the Lord trust Simon Peter with anything? And no doubt that's part of what was in Peter's mind when he was grieved that he asked him the third time, Lord, don't you know, don't you remember? I'm not worthy to even be called a one of your sheep, much less feed them. Can you put yourself in Peter's shoes this morning? Can I? Can you see the Son of God looking into your face and saying to you directly, asking you this question, do you love me? If you're a believer, I know what you're thinking. I would just imagine that your heart is similar to mine, us being cut out of the same lump. If you're truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're grieved like Peter was. Grieved at your own lack of love. Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times daily do I find myself where Peter did when he bragged before his brethren and before the Lord himself and denied the very word of the Lord? Peter, you're going to deny me. No, I'm not going to do that. We do exactly the same thing. The word of God is clear to us and we say, no, we're not like that. Yeah, I'm a sinner and I do bad things, but I'm not like the word of God, not from the top of my head to the crown of my soles of my feet, not nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Now, I won't deny the Lord. I wouldn't go that far. Now, these people, man, I'm not as bad as they are. I'm bad. Now, I'm a sinner. But I'm not. Do we do that? Fly in the very face of Christ said, "You're going to deny me. You're nothing." All flesh is grass. No, Lord, not me. How many times do we do that? And when confronted, when put in a situation, when the opportunity is given, how many times do we, if not with these lips, from our hearts, do exactly what Peter did? Deny the Lord Jesus Christ. We deny Him, this flesh. We're cowards just like Peter was. Satan was right about us when he said about Job, flesh for flesh. Ah, he was right about us, wasn't he? There's not anything to us. Is that your first reaction when this question is asked of you? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? If it is, then perhaps you do. Perhaps you do. Perhaps the answer is yes. Peter was grieved at the question because the Lord had taught him something about himself. He knew that when left to himself, he was a backstabbing coward, interested only in his own welfare. What about you? And would sell out the Lord of glory to save his own skin. What about you? Do you love the Lord Jesus? If your first reaction is to be grieved at the pitiful, wretched nature of anything within you that could ever be called love. And then perhaps your answer could honestly be what Peter's was. Yea, Lord. Yea. The Lord didn't ask him, how much do you love me? He didn't ask him, how great is your love for me? But he asked, do you love me? Do you love me? What a startling verse of Scripture. What a startling question. People are making decisions for Jesus this morning. And people are strutting around with their no-so salvation, their ticket to heaven in their pocket. But I wonder how many people love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Love the Christ of Scripture. Love the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, King Jesus. How many have bowed to Him, not just in allegiance, but with a heart of love to Him? He's on the throne, and I'm glad, because He's worthy to be on the throne. How many have bowed to Him with a heart of love? Forget whether you've made a profession or not. Forget how faithful you have been or unfaithful. Doesn't make any difference. Forget what you have sacrificed or not sacrificed. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. Let's turn over there and look at it. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. In other words, when the Lord comes, may he throw you in hell where you belong. That's exactly what that says. Let him be accursed when the Lord comes back. When Christ comes in his glory, may he take you and put you where you belong, where you can't do any more harm, in hell, where you deserve to be right now, if you love not the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about one who is altogether lovely. Do you love him? When I speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and I talk about the fact that the blessed Son of God came to this earth, left the throne of glory, and that glory that he had with his Father from before the foundation of the world that he longed for when he was in this flesh, when he prayed that high priestly prayer in John 17, he said, Father, restore unto me the glory that I had with thee from the foundation of the world. That intimate glory. Not that it was done away with, but that he left that throne and that place in heaven of perfect communion with the Father. He became a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Son of God came to this earth, and he did it for sinners like you. Does that mean anything to you? Does your heart go out in love to the Lord Jesus Christ when somebody speaks of him? And having made atonement for our sin, he came to do something, not to offer something or to make something possible. He came to accomplish redemption for his people. And having done so, he laid down his life and shed his precious blood. And when he rose again from the dead, he sat there with his people as we are gathered here today. And he broke bread and said, this is my body, which is broken, which I have broken for you. And this is my blood, which I shed. And I did it for you. Does that mean anything to you? Is this a personal time of communion with the one that you love? The lover of your soul and him whom thy soul loveth. Is that what this is? Or is it just Sunday go to meeting? That's the question now. Do you love me? Not what have you done for me? Not have you loved me? Forget about the past. And forget about the future as far as this is concerned. It's all about right now. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Right now. It doesn't make any difference whether you made a profession or whether you think at one time maybe you loved Him. Do you love Him now? Right now, where you sit, this question is for us. Do you love to hear Him spoken of? To love the Lord Jesus Christ is to be committed to Him. When I married my wife, I made a commitment to her. And to love the Lord Jesus Christ involves a commitment of a much greater nature. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Have you committed anything to Christ this morning? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Have you committed to Him? What did Paul commit to Christ? Absolutely everything. My person, my soul, my life, everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that I do from this moment on is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I think maybe I do in most cases. All my eggs are in one basket this morning, committed to Him. If Christ stands, I stand. If His righteousness is enough whereby to stand before the holy throne of God Almighty, then I'm going to be okay. If it's not, I'm in trouble. Is that you? Is that the attitude of your heart this morning? Committed to Him. If He falls, I fall. If He stands, I stand. Love to Christ. I want to impress upon you this morning, if I possibly can, the vital connection between faith in Christ and love to the Lord Jesus Christ. One cannot exist without the other. You can't love somebody that you don't believe in. In this sense, in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, we talked about commitment. Faith is to commit our soul unto Him, to commit ourselves to Him as our sacrifice for sin, as our righteousness before a holy God. And to do that is absolutely vital. But there's more to it than that. Not that that can exist without the other, but we don't do so just as in a judicial sense. We don't do so just as our ticket to heaven now. Well, the Lord's my offering. He's my ticket to heaven. No, there must be a heart love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't love somebody you don't believe in, and you can't believe in Him without loving Him. The moment you lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, you fall in love with a person, not with an idea or even a doctrine, as much as we love and hold to sound doctrine. But it's Christ and not the doctrine. The doctrine is Christ, and Christ is the doctrine. It's not the doctrine of election that is my hope. It's the Christ of election, the Christ in whom the Father elected a people. He's my hope. You see the difference? It's not just something in black and white on paper. Salvation is a person. One of these days I'm going to learn that. One of these days before I die, maybe, God is going to reveal to me, as I should know it, that salvation is a person. A person. And it is to love Him. It is to fall hopelessly and helplessly, head over heels in love with the Son of God. Simon, son of Jonas. Chris Cunningham, son of Elijah Cunningham. Do you love me? There's no misunderstanding the question, is there? You can't misunderstand the question. And I'll tell you this, you know the answer. You know the answer in your heart. You can't love somebody and not know it. And you can't hate somebody and not know it. Now notice another thing about this question this morning. He said, do you love me? Me. A specific person clearly revealed. Peter knew who he was talking about. He's standing there right in front of him. And I got news for you this morning, or maybe it isn't news to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is set forth evidently before our eyes. There's no question about who I'm talking about this morning. And I want to make it clear. Because I'm not talking about the Jesus of the silver screen. And I'm not talking about the Jesus of organized religion, of fleshly, man-centered, free will religion. I'm not talking about him. They have the same sounding name, but they are not the same person. I'm talking about the exalted Son of God that Peter preached at Pentecost, that we're going to look at soon in that study. The exalted Son of God, whom God hath made, this Jesus, this same Jesus that you nailed to a cross, that you considered him to be nothing. We set him at naught, the Scripture says. We esteemed him stricken, smitten, afflicted of God, deserving what he got. We considered him a sinner and deserving every minute of what he got on that cross. We set him at naught, but God hath made him the chief cornerstone. And that one that you crucified and despised and hated so much that you cried from your heart, and I'm talking to us. Do you love the Son of God? You, the one who cried out for his blood and said, crucify him, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Do you love the Son of God? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? The one who you crucified and with wicked hands took and slew, but God hath made him both Lord and Christ. We're dealing with the King this morning. We're talking about the Son of God exalted and glorious upon the high throne of heaven. And he sits there right now at the right hand of God. I'm talking about the King of glory who came to this earth and laid aside that glory for a moment and took upon him the form of a man, who took upon him the form of a servant, who became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. The Son of God did that. Great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about God Almighty dwelling in a body of flesh upon this earth and doing so for a specific purpose, to save, to lay down his life, to atone for the sins of every one of his people. And he either accomplished that or he did not. And I say to you, he is the victorious Redeemer this morning. His is a redemption that redeems. His is a blood that actually purchased something. His blood is precious. The blood that's represented by the wine that we'll hold up to our lips and drink this morning is effectual blood. It accomplished something for his people. Do you love me? Do you love that Christ, the sovereign, victorious Redeemer, who came and accomplished everything that he came to accomplish and went back and sat down on the throne of God until his enemies be made his footstool? That's who I'm talking about. I don't know about these other Jesuses. Yes, I do. I don't love them, do you? I have no love for the little J Jesus of this religious world who wants to and can't, who did his best and now it's up to you. I have no regard for him whatsoever. None. But the Christ of this book, who said to Simon Peter, do you love me? The one who was nailed to a cross, and Peter knew, Peter witnessed it, and knew that he had hung there and bled for his very sins. And Simon Peter's answer was immediate, and his answer was clear, wasn't it? Yes, our first reaction is like Peter's. We're grieved. We're grieved because this question forces us to look within, doesn't it? It forces us to search our wicked hearts. And you can't do that without being grieved. Not a believer. Not a believer. Now, a religious person who has a Jesus of his imagination, the free will Jesus, you know, now, he wouldn't be grieved at that question. Have you ever heard anybody say, I've always loved Jesus all my life? That's too long, my friends. That's too long. We are born at enmity with God. At enmity with God. Here's a partial answer to the question. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, it's because he loved you first. You don't love him by nature. We know that. We're born into this world enmity, not at enmity. We are something. And what we are is repulsive and wretched in the sight of God. Not just what we do. We do what we do because of what we are. We are wretched and repugnant in the sight of God. We are rebels against Him. And we despise the Lord Jesus. Oh, we love our ideas of Jesus. We love the Jesus that we learned about in Sunday school growing up. The one that just exists to bless you and to do everything for you. And He's going to take you to heaven. And heaven to religion is just, it's just as fleshly as their ideas of everything else regarding religion. Heaven is just a place for the pampering of the flesh. We're going to walk streets of gold, and we're going to live in a plush mansion, and this flesh is going to be pampered, and our flesh is going to enjoy all the bliss that we never did quite attain unto in this earth. We're finally, you know, going to be fulfilled in all of our fleshly appetites and desires. Ah, how deceived we are. How blind we are by nature. Is heaven all about that to you? Is heaven the streets of gold and the mansion that you can't wait to move into? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Heaven to the believer is just to be with Him wherever He is. To gather around Him as the redeemed, robed in spotless white in the righteousness of Christ Himself, and to sing His praises and to shout, Alleluia. Power and blessing and honor and glory unto the Lamb that sitteth upon the throne. That's heaven. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Old Simeon in Luke chapter 2, he knew what salvation was and is. He looked into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby, about that long. And he held Him in his arms and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart this world in peace. Let me die, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That baby, as a baby, couldn't do anything for Him. It wasn't about that. He loved the salvation of God and saw Him to be a person and not some kind of a fringe benefit, you know, that goes along with if you do enough for God in this life, your fringe benefit is you get to go to heaven when you die. Salvation and glory is the Lord Jesus Christ if you love Him. Do you love me, He asks, this morning of all of us. It's not religious feelings. It's a person. Is there anything that you'd rather hear? Now, honestly, you know the answer to this in your heart. Is there anything that you would rather hear than someone speak of the glories of Christ? Is there anything that you would rather do this morning than to come together and worship the one who is worthy to be worshiped? Honestly, is there something? If you love Him, there's nothing that we'd rather do. What could be more delightful than to meet together and to hear the gospel of Christ? If you know that Christ is going to be preached somewhere, do you long to be there? What's the preacher going to talk about this morning? Well, I reckon he's going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to preach Christ and Him crucified. I'm there. I'm going to be there. Wherever somebody's speaking of Christ, if I'm in range, put a check by my name. That's where I'm going to be. Because we love Him. Not because we're trying to earn our way to heaven. That we want some kind of a gold star by our name in heaven. Well, He was there. Put a gold star by His name. Oh, because we love Him. Where else would we be? When I met my wife, we had a long-distance relationship for a while. Anybody can relate to that? You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever... I can't even talk about it. Have you ever physically hurt? I mean physically hurt. Because you long to be with somebody so much? Do you feel that toward the Lord Jesus Christ? There are times when we don't feel His presence as we do at other times. Is that the greatest grief to you in this world? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? everything that we think about with regard to Christianity, what we call being a Christian. And that's a good Bible word. Don't ever let anybody that misuses that word make it an ugly thing to you. We're Christians. We bear His name by His grace. We glory in that, in Him. But everything that we know regarding being a Christian, faith and repentance, these gifts of God that He gives us, it all boils down to that one greatest thing, doesn't it? Paul said, "Now remaineth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you have begun that which will never end. Faith will give way to sight. Hope will become reality. But love will never cease. It'll just increase more and more. Even in this life, our love for Him grows, does it not? Does He become more lovely to you every moment, every day? Every time you hear His name, every time you hear Him spoken of and preached, does He become more lovely to you? That will never end. As long as He exists and you exist, that love will never, ever die. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? If we love Him, we like to think about Him, don't we? We don't need to be reminded of Him. We remember Him this morning. But didn't you remember Him yesterday? And the day before? This is a special time of remembrance. And I'm glad that the Lord has given us this ordinance. What a blessing it is to focus all of our heart's attention upon the person of Christ and what He did for sinners. That's a blessing. And to sit around His table and sup with Him. But we think about Him all the time, don't we? If you love somebody, you do. We don't forget His name or what He means to us. Though sometimes, as I said, He seems to be distant from us. And I believe that He withdraws Himself sometimes to prove and to show and to reveal the love that He's given us for Him. But He dwells in our hearts. He never utterly departs from us. We think about Him because we love Him. I think about my wife. It doesn't matter how far apart we are physically. She never leaves my thoughts. We like to hear about Him. We find pleasure in listening to those who speak of Him. It affects our hearts. Our hearts go out in love just to hear His name spoken in the right way and to hear right things spoken concerning Him. If you want to endear yourself to me in a natural sense, say something nice about my wife or my children. I like that, don't you? I like to hear people say something nice about the Master. Say something, if it's true, it's good about Him, isn't it? We like to hear about Him. I like to read about Him. Vicki used to send me letters. We spent most of our time on the telephone. And my telephone bill reflected that. But every once in a while, she'd send me a letter. And I'd have a stack of mail. And I'd throw everything else aside. And I'd open that one letter. I saw that handwritten return address up there. And I knew who it was from. And everything else can wait now. All other so-called priorities aside, I can pay the bill, the other bills later. The phone bill, I can pay that later. I had to see what she had to say. We're like that regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you read what He wrote lately? What He said, this book is written to you as a believer. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you interested in what He has to say? And I'll tell you this, we like to do things that please Him, don't we? Again, we're grieved because we know something about this flesh. If you love Him and know Him, you know something about yourself too, don't you? And you know that there's nothing good in this flesh. In my flesh, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. And yet by the grace of God, that new nature that he has given to us in Christ, the Holy Spirit within us. And Paul was careful to give credit where credit was due, didn't he? He said, the life that I now live, I live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But it's him, isn't it? It's him that dwelleth in us. But because he does dwell in us, we desire to please him. And it's not because, again, we want to be accepted by him. We don't do things that God tells us to do so that he will accept us. If you love him, you already see yourself accepted in the Beloved. Not based upon what you do or haven't done, but based upon what he did and didn't do. We're already accepted in the Beloved. That's not why we do what we want to, what he wants us to do, what he tells us to do. If you love me, he said, do you love me? Keep my commandments. Do what I told you to do. And by his grace, we do. We do it pitifully. Again, he didn't say, how much do you love me? There wouldn't be anything but despair in the answer to that. But do you love me? Do you deny yourself to meet his desires and abstain from those things that he dislikes? Why do you do that? Do I do things to please my wife because, you know, we have a legal marriage document somewhere that requires me to do so? Because I love her. And she does what she does for me because she loves me. And that's how it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, only in a much greater sense. If we love him, we like to speak to him, don't we? How many hours did we spend on the phone? Every night. Every night now. You think I'm exaggerating? Every night. Because I loved her. I didn't feel like it was required of me to do that. And nor did she. There was nothing I would rather have done than speak with her. If you love somebody, that's the way it is. In Exodus 33:11, it says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Do you speak to the Lord Jesus Christ that way? As a man speaketh unto his friend. There's nothing that we can't say to him. There's no burden that he will not bear for us. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he said, this is my body which is broken for you, and this is my blood which is shed for you, what would he not do for you, for those that love him? If we love somebody, we like to be with them, don't we? We like to be with them. I enjoyed talking on the phone to Vicki, and I loved getting letters from her. I loved to read them. I'd read them 3 or 4 times just to make sure, you know, that she really loved me. Did she really say she loved me? Yeah, that's what she said. But nothing compared to being with her. Nothing's the same as that. And that's how it is with him that we love. We read of him and we rejoice in the Word of God, but it's not just a book, is it? It's communion with a person. Is it just reading a book to you? Just like you read the Scripture just like you read the newspaper? Do you come to church just to be going to another church meeting, or do you come to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ? We long to be with those that we love. Is it about the golden streets and that mansion just over the hilltop to you to go to heaven when you die? Or is it about seeing him face to face? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doesn't yet even appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. Do you long to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is? You never have seen him like that before. The glimpses that he gives us of himself are true, and they're right, and they are accurate, but they're through a glass darkly. We haven't yet seen him as he is, not fully. But one day we will stand in his presence. Like Job said, I shall behold my Redeemer. He liveth, and in my flesh I'm going to see him. Do you long for that? You either do or you don't you? This is a question that we ought to be able to answer. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't say, do you love me like you ought to love me? That wouldn't be a very pleasant question to answer, would it? Do you love me like you ought to love me? No. No, not even close. And if not for his grace, we'd still be haters, despisers, rebels against him. But by his grace, we answer as Peter did. The Apostle Peter didn't say, well, Lord, you know, I don't really know my heart. You know, the heart is deceptive. And it is. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't know whether I love you or not. He didn't say that. And the Lord didn't rebuke him for answering the way that he did. Oh, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. But I'll tell you this morning, and you could, most of you could say the same thing. If I know anything at all, if I know anything, if anything in this world is knowable, I know this. And notice the way Peter answered the question, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. He's the one that gave you the love for him. He knows that you love him. He's not asking to find out. He's asking to reveal to us, to impress upon us the miracle of his grace, that he has given us a love for himself. What greater gift is there in this world? What greater thing? What greater glory do we have? What greater rejoicing? What cause for rejoicing do we have than to be able to honestly say with Peter, I don't love you like I ought to love you. I don't love you like one day I shall love you. But God help me, by your grace, I do love you. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? We answer as that man answered regarding faith. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Do you know what he meant by that? If you're a believer, you know exactly what he meant by that. Lord, I believe. I do believe. By God's grace, I believe. I lay hold of Christ. But help my unbelief. We're grieved by the question because we know something of ourselves. Lord, I do love you. But help my pitiful, pathetic, feeble, fickle love. And cause it to grow, strengthen it, and cause me to love him like he ought to be loved. We're never going to attain that in this life. But may our love for him grow stronger as he gives us more grace. He's altogether lovely. If you don't love him, if I don't love him, we ought to go to hell. Just as sure as we're sitting here, we ought to. But by his grace, I answer with Peter, Lord, I do. Yea, Lord, thou knowest. By your everlasting, sovereign, discriminating grace, free grace, I do love you. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time that you've given us together. Bless us as we sit at thy table, Lord, and cause us to remember thee, to remember thy person, who you are, and what you did for us. Bless us as we do so, Lord, and cause us to worship in our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy. And bless our fellowship together in him. In his precious name, amen.